It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside from the Bojangles Studio high in the mountains of North Georgia. Welcome to a brand new, unused Saturday morning. We're getting started here at 6 after the hour. This is O'Neill, and we've got a lot of things to do, and it's a full half hour, full hour, that is, of outdoors the second time around. Woman Williams is here this morning, and she has a special treat for us because she's going to have the lake temperatures, aren't you?
You say so.
Okay. All right, she's got the lake temperatures. You're listening to O'Neill Outside on WSB, covering 38 states on a Saturday morning, and the SB Nation radio network of 155 stations worldwide. So we invite you to watch the program and listen, and if you'd like to be involved, you may do so at 800-WSB-TALK or 972-8255 or in the Atlanta area, 404-872-0750. It's my pleasure to self-promotion to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside on various network television program across the country. Go to visit O'Neill Outside at O'NeillOutside.net or .com. You can learn all about the new line of O'Neill's Real Lubes and Gun Oils. And you can participate with the Southern Grind question and leave your question there. And let's see what else. Oh, you can visit or listen, that is, with O'Neill at the O'Neill Podcast at iTunes and the SoundCloud. And it's just stories that O'Neill tells. The best one, I think, being about breakfast, when I had breakfast in Montana. They didn't serve grits in Montana. They served potatoes. And quite frankly, I was disappointed. But they thought I talked funny anyway. All right, it's 34 after the hour. The nine-minute break is coming up. This is O'Neill, along now with Woman Williams. We'll have the Medal of Honor tribute and your calls when we get back.
Nice stove show.
Back, everyone. 12 after the hour, and we've got a lot of calls here. We'll get to every single one of them. First of all, let's go to Mac is calling, and we always have a great fishing report from Captain Mac. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Good. Are the crappie still deep out there in lakes all over the South?
Yes, it is. It's still winter fishing, although we're definitely signs of they're pulling up. I haven't talked to anybody, and I haven't tried to catch any fish real shallow, but, you know, it probably won't be long. We'll start seeing some fish get in some shallower stuff. If nothing else, they'll pull up on the docks and the brush piles and get in shallower water. But, yeah, it's still a dock shooting bite, deep stuff, main okay. lake or out on the creek channels, but that bite's been very good. So That's your struggle now. Everything's biting. So what are you going to fish for, right?
Yeah, everything's getting ready. It's funny, and I mentioned it ad nauseum. Even though the water temperature hasn't climbed much, or maybe not at all, sometime the increased number of hours of daylight affect the fish.
I think there's no question about it, and the days are much longer. Mm-hmm. And we've got, I think the weather we're having, all this rain and overcast cloud cover is more conducive to a good bite. And I think this type of weather will get fish in shallower water. So, yes, you're right. When those days start getting longer, that's a trigger. That's a big one.
I'm really enjoying your Facebook page with all the photos and everything that you're putting on there. And, man, you're doubling up on those stripers on those umbrella rigs, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. People ask me about that all the time. The intent of the rig's not to catch two fish. The intent of the rig's to create the illusion of a school of bait coming through the water. But one of the very fortunate byproducts of that is sometimes you catch fish. Sometimes you catch three, and that's pretty cool.
That's so great. But no, well, let me ask you. Originally, wasn't the umbrella rig a saltwater primarily rig?
Yeah. When we started the tackle part of our business, we researched umbrellas, and we can trace them all the way back to the 50s, where they were made up in the eastern seaboard. Guys were using for stripers and bluefish offshore.
Okay.
And we just kind of took them and modified them and made a little more applicable, made smaller basically, because some of the rigs they were using offshore were very big, heavy, physically larger in width, and some of them as big as 6 or 8 ounces, just the lead part in the middle. So we kind of took some of the bulk out of them and tried to make them applicable to inland waters and freshwater fishing, and still trying to do that.
Well, you know, let me comment. That's another really good reason maybe to hire you or book you for a couple of days and be able to learn how to use that rig.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not – they're very intimidating when you see them on the shelf. You see it in the package, or you just look at all the – it's a physically big rig. It's got a lot of hardware, and they're really easy to use, but you can get somebody to show you that learning curve. You can put you in the place where you're catching fish a whole lot quicker and probably save you a lot of headaches and probably save you a couple of rigs. Keep you once you see.
Oh, there you are. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. So we've got a good report for fishing, and it's just going to get better.
I think so. I'm actually excited. If you look at the long-term forecast, O'Neill, although your rain suit looks like it's going to get a really good workout in the next 15 days or so, but we don't have any really cold weather. I expect water temperatures to continue to creep up. Some of that's that byproduct, longer day, more sunlight, or more, I don't know about sunlight, but less dark in this case. But, yeah, things, we're to the point where I think things are going to start happening quick. Fish are really, we're seeing fish, the stripers particularly, are getting shallow. It's turned into more of a traditional winter bite, free lines, flat lines. So things are starting to happen. You're right. That process is only going to continue. So it's time, man. It's time.
Fantastic. How should people be in touch with you and your team of guides so that they can learn about the umbrella rig and catch some?
Umbrella rig and all things fishing, for that matter. You can find us online at Captain Max, CaptainMacks.com. And you can get an expanded report of the fishing report there as well.
Okay. Mighty fine, Mac. Glad you called. Have a great weekend, pal.
O'Neill, do the same. Everybody get out there, go fishing, be safe. And if you're by Bass Pro today, we'll be at the electronics counter with our friends at Hummingbird. Stop by and say hello.
Okay. Good idea.
All right. Sounds good.
Catch you later, pal.
Thanks.
There you go. All right. Well, that's a good call from Mac. Let's speak now to Gene calling from Carrollton, Georgia, on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
Hey. I'm doing fine. You're going to have to speak right up now. I don't have a very good signal.
That better?
That's better a little. Yeah.
All right. Well, we fish out here at Largemouth, West Point Lake, Finale, stuff like that. And we headed down next weekend. We're going south. And we need your advice where to go. We're looking for Florida Strand, Largemouth. We don't have a food.
Gene, I'm sorry. To disappoint you, I'm going to have to ask you to call back when you have a better signal. I can't. Let's try one more time, but I can't understand you. I'm sorry. Give
Is
it a
that
try
better,
now.
O'Neill?
Hey, that's better. Yes.
Can you give us some advice where to go south? Florida Strain, Largemouth. We don't have a clue.
South Florida or North Florida or anywhere?
Well, we're up in Carrollton area. We fish West Point and Medallia a lot, and we're tired of these little pound and a half spots, largemouth, whatever. So we just want to go a little bit further south, and we wanted to get your advice on where to go and what to do. We don't have a clue.
Okay. Well, the first place that you might investigate the area would be around Tallahassee at Lake Jackson or Jackson Lake and Lake Talquin and the places in the, you know, just east of what you might call the panhandle.
Gotcha.
Those lakes are small. They're covered in weeds, and they got giant bass in them.
Up here we do Carolina rig, maybe some pop bars and stuff. What do we do down yonder that would be different to get
well? If you're looking for big fish, then the way for you to catch the biggest bass in the state of Florida and catch the Florida bass is for you to use live bait. Other than that, then use a big plastic worm. Something
gotcha.
that will something that will stay in the weeds.
Something like that.
Pardon me, say again.
So like Texas rig or something like that?
Yeah, Texas rig worm. Something. Now, gotcha. A Carolina rig is not going to work for you, but a Texas rig will.
Gotcha. Texas rig, stay in the weeds, big worms. Gotcha.
And fish with the wind at your back.
Wind at the back. Okay.
Yeah, the fish.
Have they started spawning down there yet?
They're close. Yeah, they'll spawn heavy late in February and early March.
So
they'll
next
be
week,
up
yeah,
shallow.
They should start coming on now.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you, O'Neill. We listen to you every morning.
Good deal. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the question to give us a chance to talk about it. Now, you owe me something. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
You need to call me back. Let me know about your trip.
Absolutely. I'll call you next Saturday after this Saturday. How about that?
Mighty fine. It works for me.
Thanks, O'Neill.
You bet. See you soon. There you go. Good luck to you, my friend. Let's see, it's 20, almost 22 after the hour. I'll wait for this next call. Have you got time, Woman Williams, to give us the lake temperatures?
Well, sure, I can.
Okay.
Lake temperatures are a little bit low, I guess, because we've had so much weather, cold weather. So 50, 43, 67, 54, and 58.
It's a wide range of temperatures.
Yeah, it is.
But there they are.
There they are.
There's bound to be a lake somewhere with that temperature in it.
Yeah, I'm just not telling you where.
You're worthless.
I know it. I enjoy it, too.
Yeah, but you're fun.
Oh, I know.
You're fun. 404-872-0750-800. 972-8255. I don't have time for that right now.
That's too bad because, you know, you're going to miss out.
Well, I promise I'll get to you when we return. After the hour, this is O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. And the key is live. Most everything else is recorded. Let's chat now with T-Bone, is calling on line number two on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, T-Bone.
Good morning, Mr. O'Neill. Top of the morning to you. How you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm doing fine. What's going on with you?
Well, I heard you talking about this morning about the winds and blowing into the banks and the blows all the shad and the plankton in. Mm-hmm. I just got kind of a funny question I wanted to ask you that I've always heard. And the question is I've always heard that when the winds are coming out of the east, the fish bite least, and out of the west, they bite best. Now, how true is that?
That is true, because that is, here in the south, that is the prevailing wind direction. In other
yes,
words, the fish are there most of the time. When the wind blows out of the east, it changes everything. So it disrupts the normal activity and normal position of where the fish are located.
Wow. Well, I was just wondering about that because I've always heard that. Mm-hmm. So when the wind's blowing out of the east, I don't need the fish.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say that if it's out of the east when you go fishing, then it will be more difficult. But
that's the reason why,
and you are correct, that in different parts of the country, that rule may be different because
yes,
the wind may be from the north prevailing.
Right.
Here in the southeast, it's almost always from the north and northwest.
Yes, sir.
So the fish are almost always there. They're used
to. Yes, sir.
You know, the other thing that helps... The other thing, and I alluded to it for a minute, but when you're fishing in these deep, huge reservoirs, and you've got bass or spotted largemouth or spotted bass or even crappie on these deep brush piles and standing trees.
Yes, sir.
Here's a tip: keep the sun in your face.
Okay.
because the shadow of the boat, if the sun is behind you and you're casting that in the with the shadow, then your shadow affects the activity of the fish in the brush pile.
Yes, sir, I get that.
Now, see, you know, I learned that from guides that I've been with.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that interesting that people, knowledge allows you to be a better fisherman, a better hunter, a better hiker, a better outdoorsman. The more you know, the better you can be.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Sounds wonderful, and I appreciate you answering my call and answering my question.
You bet. Glad you called, my good friend. Good luck to you.
Y'all have a blessed day, and thank you.
We will do that. Okay, 28 after the hour. Let's talk to Michael. I'll ring it up there correctly. Michael is calling from Cartersville, Georgia, on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, O'Neill. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Good deal. Speak right up now, because you barely can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. I've got a question about a fishing trip I have planned for me and my son.
Okay.
This spring, going to Canada.
Are you?
We're going to fly into a lake. We're going to smallmouth fish. It's going to be our main quarry, and I was wondering what I need to take. I got a limited amount of tackle I can take. My uncle's
Certainly.
Been to this particular lake before, and he's took plastic worms mainly.
Okay.
Was wanting to know, do I need to take crankbaits? Do I need to take a lot of topwater plugs? It'll be early spring. What's your suggestion?
Okay. And I have some, because I've been to Canada a little bit farther up than where you're going, evidently, because where I was, there were not any smallmouth. All right, here's some basic tips for you, because you're going to run into smallmouth and probably walleye, and you're going to catch northern pike also, aren't you?
The muskie is mainly lake trout, smallmouth, and muskie. In
okay.
that lake, there's not as many walleye, and there's no northern pike there.
There are no northern pike?
That's exactly right. I was
okay.
kind of shocked, too. The lake is called Lake Tishkapina.
Okay. Here's some basic tips for you, okay?
Uh-huh.
The water is going to be super clear, so you should use light line. Number
uh-huh.
two, you should, on every bait, especially if it's for muskie or a walleye, then you should use a wire leader, probably a 30-pound
uh-huh.
wire leader, because they're really toothy. Number three, I wouldn't use anything with a treble hook, because if you catch walleye or or muskie, you don't want to have to dig a treble hook out of his mouth. You use the best bait I ever had for the easiest fishing in Canada is a Johnson spoon. Make it a
okay.
gold Johnson spoon, because it has a single hook, and just use a rubber or a curly tail plastic trailer, because you can throw
okay.
that right. The fish live in the weeds. And you can throw that right into the weeds, and it'll run right through there, okay?
Okay.
As far as the smallmouth goes, the smallmouth bass is pretty dumb, okay? He's not nearly as wary or as difficult to catch as a spotted bass or a largemouth. He'll bite whatever you throw. But if you
wow.
want to get him out of, you want to get him out of those weeds, use a plastic worm, a small one.
Okay.
And once he bites, he's
great.
Not going to let it go. You got him.
Yes, sir.
So those
yes,
are
sir.
Basic basic principles. Don't use anything with a treble hook.
Okay. That's
and,
great
but,
advice, and I really appreciate your time.
But be sure and take some pliers, because you're still going to have to dig hooks out of a toothy grin.
All right, well, you have a great day, and I
all right,
sure
you let me
your
let
advice.
Me know about your trip, will you?
Okay, it'll be late June. Thanks a lot.
Man, oh man, I wish I was going. That's
right,
fantastic.
Thanks,
you won't catch but about 100 a day.
That's exactly what my uncle said. You can count on 75 to 100 smallmouth.
That's exactly right. What a great trip for a youngster.
Yes, sir.
Fabulous.
Yes, sir.
I wish I could go again. Good luck to you, Michael.
All right. Thanks a lot, O'Neill.
You bet. There you go. How about that? Going to Canada. Man, I'd love to do that again.
And you won't even get up there before you say, I can't wait to get home.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay.
Nah.
That's
not a bad thing.
No. All right. What did you have? You wanted to do, you had something. Woman Williams has something to bring to the program this morning, among other things.
I got this on an email the other day. I thought it was kind of funny.
Okay.
We have to be politically correct, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
If there are blonde jokes, and I love blonde jokes. And,
yeah, I do
too. I'm blonde.
Yes.
And
I noticed.
Okay. And so we're going to have some blonde men jokes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. A blonde man is in the bathroom and his wife shouts, did you find the shampoo? And he answers, yes, but I'm not sure what to do. It's for dry hair and mine's already wet. A blonde man spies a letter lying on his doormat.
Uh-huh.
On the envelope, it says, do not bend. So he spends the next 2 hours trying to figure out how to pick it up. So there you go. That'll do for today.
You want to...
What?
You want to tell the joke about the eye disease that we heard from Gary?
I don't know if we can tell that or not. It has an ugly word in it.
I'll tell it then.
It gets you in trouble. It gets everybody in trouble if you use it. I'm not sure you can say that word.
Sure you can.
That.
Okay. Here's the joke.
Hey, Corey, get ready to dump him.
Get ready to dump me.
Yeah.
Corey, Corey's the engineer at WSB. Karen and Brian Green are engineering in Peachtree City. So here's the joke. Guy calls into his boss one day. He's lazy. He calls into his boss and says, I'm not coming into work today. Boss says, well, why? What's the matter? Are you sick? He says, I have anal glaucoma. He says, man, I never heard of that before. What is that? Oh, I can't say the rest of the joke.
Hello?
Never mind, everybody. Oh, okay. 35 after the hour. Let's get to something else.
I think, we could do it this way. The guy responds. He says, I'm not coming in today because I can't see my A double scribble.
Okay.
Coming
in to work.
Say it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we ruined it.
Yeah.
But
that's what happens.
I can't help it. I'm not very good at this. We've only been doing it 27 years.
Yeah.
And when I get some experience, I'll be better at it.
20-something years. Yeah. Like 29,
Lord.
Maybe.
Okay, here's another, my screen's not working again, so do I have any calls, Corey? Okay, we'll get to him in a minute. It's 36 after the hour. Here's another Southern Grind guestbook entry. Somebody went to the website, and the Southern Grind guestbook, and it's Barrett Smith. And Barrett, he's from Dover, Delaware, and he wants to know he wants to know about lubricating your reel. How often do you do that? My smart aleck answer is, Barrett, you can use too little oil, but you can't use too much. The key to the maintenance of a reel is how you clean it, not as much how you oil it. Of course, I want you to use O'Neill's oils, which you can find at my website. But I see people. I saw a guy one time, and it's a heartbreaker. It was at a dock, a marina, and he was using a hose with a spray, a high-powered spray, to clean his reels. And what was that from Karen?
I don't know. Is
okay.
That break time?
And he was all he was doing was making the salt water and the dirt and everything. Oh, gosh, it's the break. I am so dumb.
Get out of here.
I'm out. We'll be back. O'Neill has cooked up a new line of real lubes, gun oils, and deck cleaners. We created these from green energy sources.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Technical Sergeant John Chapman, Afghanistan, 2002. John Chapman was attached to a Navy SEAL team. He's a SEAL. The team's helicopter was ambushed, causing a teammate to fall into an entrenched group of enemy. Sergeant Chapman and the team voluntarily reinserted into the snow-capped mountain, into the heart of a known enemy stronghold, to rescue one of their own. Without regard for his safety, Sergeant Chapman charged the enemy bunker and directly engaged the enemy. Upon reaching the bunker, Sergeant Chapman assaulted and cleared the position, killing all of the occupants. With complete disregard for his own life, Sergeant Chapman deliberately moved from cover only 12 yards from the enemy when he was struck and injured and mortally wounded. He continued to fight relentlessly, sustaining violent engagement with multiple enemy personnel before making that ultimate sacrifice. By his heroic actions and extraordinary valor, sacrificing his life for his teammates, Technical Sergeant Chapman upheld the highest traditions of military service and reflected great credit upon himself and the Navy SEAL team. 42 after the hour.
Had a hard time with that one, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could tell.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like the movie we saw last night,
mm-hmm.
Platoon.
Oh, boy.
You can't imagine the...
what they go through.
The heroism
mm-hmm.
involved. So yep. Sometimes... I have a tough time getting through that. 42 after the hour, 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. Yes, ma'am, you have something?
Someone wants to know if you've ever fished Texas, and if you have not, would you recommend?
Texas?
Yeah.
Yes, it's summertime always in Texas, almost. I've fished from North Texas, Lake Texoma, all the way down through the Houston area and many lakes in Texas. And the fish grow big, and over the last dozen or so years, they have stocked many of what they call the Florida strain of largemouth and the tiger bass, the tiger strain, which was developed in Alabama by two fisheries biologists who went to Auburn. So when they came up with this fish, this new strain of largemouth, they called it the tiger bass. And it was a combination of a northern largemouth male and a southern female. And they combined those two, and it made for a fish that is much more aggressive and is bigger. So a lot of those are in Texas. One of the main lakes, well, Toledo Bend is between Louisiana and Texas, and Lake Fork. I think the Lake Fork record is something like 17 pounds. A lot of big fish in Texas. I'd like to go back and visit some of the other lakes in Texas because of their names. I love the names in Texas. There's a lake called the Possum Kingdom. There's another lake called Elephant Butte. The people in Texas, I love Texans, and they have a great way of naming their lakes and their parks. So, yes, I fished Texas a lot and enjoyed it greatly. Any calls, Corey? All right, let's go. Let's see if I can. Let's let you bring up line two for me, if you will. Did you say it was David? All right, David is on O'Neill Outside at 45 after the hour. Good morning, David. You on the line?
Yes, I am, sir. It's good to talk to you again.
Good.
Hey, listen, I was just thinking, one of the attributes of some of your oils that you're lubricating stuff for the reels and stuff is the fact that they displace water.
Yes, they do. They displace
and
the water.
And you need to advertise that because when it displaces the water, it cuts down on corrosion and makes the reel last longer.
You know, I was before I went to the last break, and see if you concur, Nan. I appreciate your very honest opinion. You can use too little lubricant, but you can't use too much.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I was raised in Florida, and keeping your reels lubricated down there in that salt water is an absolute must. If you they don't last.
Absolutely. And you know something? High-quality reels now, they are very expensive.
They are.
They need to last, and you know they're very expensive, but they're better than those old reels that we used to buy.
Oh yeah, those old Mitchells and nasty things that we used to have.
Mitchell 300, Mitchell 308.
Yeah.
Oh man, those are throwaway reels now.
Yeah, they are. It had about a 1.2-to-1 gear ratio.
That's just real like mad.
Yeah. Hey, and I was going to ask you. I'm thinking about going fishing up here in Notley on Monday.
Okay.
And I haven't been looking at anything, and I don't know what I need to do. I mean, I can striper fish, bass fish, crappie fish. I can do whatever I want to. And what would you suggest I do on
fish
Monday?
Fish deep and slow with something small. Now, have you looked? I haven't, but have you looked lately at the Lake Notley? Water level.
Yeah, the water level it doesn't drop like it used to. They used to drop the water level down and not leak. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, like 25
now,
or 30
now
feet.
But now they only drop it down about 15 feet, 12 to 15 feet. So
the only other thing I would tell you is if you're going to go to Notley and this deep water doesn't work, then go up the river that feeds the lake.
There you go. Go up Notley River.
Yep. Those fish in the river don't know that there's a lake down there below them.
And the water temperature basically stays the same.
So they will stay in the river year-round. They don't know there's a lake down there, okay?
Right.
A largemouth is not pelagic. He doesn't travel.
Right.
He or she stays in one general area their whole life. All they do is go up and down in the water column. They don't go up the river and down the river and so on, like a striper or a white bass or a walleye or something like that.
So you're thinking small jigs and maybe get up by the dam somewhere in the deeper water?
That's correct. That is correct.
And jig slow and on down as deep as
I
can
get.
That's
right. Now, if you're going to be jigging now, just use a small one. Don't use a sidewinder. Use a Hopkins.
Right. Yeah, that Hopkins spoon is a nice jigging spoon.
Yes, it is. I think when I used to tournament fish, and I've got time. When I used to tournament fish a lot, I'm too old. I don't do that now. It turned into a job. In the winter, that's all I used was a Hopkins spoon. Remember the old Man's Salty Dog?
Oh yeah.
I used a salty dog. I fished a tournament one time at Lake Martin, and I was getting ready for a tournament. This was a long time ago, and I'm bragging now, but I was using a sidewinder, and I couldn't catch any fish. I could see them, but I couldn't make them bite.
Right.
And the next morning, I went to breakfast over there in a little restaurant in Alabama, and I asked a bunch of guys at breakfast what was the trouble. I couldn't catch them, and they said, "Your spoon's too big."
Yeah.
So I changed to a Hopkins, and on that trip, I used a tiny salty dog. And in 3 days of tournament fishing, I caught 270 largemouth.
Whoo! You put
I
it on
the
then.
Tournament.
I bet you did. You had your pick of size, didn't you?
I would rig six rods with a salty dog. And I'd catch a fish. Just catch a fish, throw the rod and reel and the fish in the bottom of the boat, and then drop another one down. And a lot of times I would have six at a time in the boat.
Wow.
And it was purely because of the size of the bait only.
You know, I was going to say, you know, so far as size of bait goes, I mean, I've done a lot of fishing in saltwater too, and fish, you know, catching dolphin, mahi-mahi, a lot of people call them now, but I always call them dolphin. Anyway, later in the day, the dolphin would come up under the boat, and lots of people would use a big lure, and those fish are almost full whenever they come up at that time of day. And if you put on a really small piece of cut bait and put it out there, those fish would just destroy it. And so it was the size of the bait that made the difference.
Good tip. Excellent. That's a good tip. Yes. He's a mahi-mahi or a Dorado. He's a very aggressive fish. If you'll give him a chance, you can catch him.
Exactly. Yeah, and I love the fact that you stick your rod in a rod holder and you grab another rod and go to fishing, because every single one of those that's under the boat will hit as long
Absolutely.
As you keep one in the water.
He's very aggressive. One of my favorite destinations over the years has been Crocodile Bay Lodge down in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of mahi. They call them Dorado there. And in those waters, those fish gain a pound a month.
It's crazy how fast they grow.
Yes. Six-pound dolphin is only 6 months old.
And they're a very renewable resource. They're absolutely delicious to eat, too.
Oh, man. It doesn't get much better. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, O'Neill, you have a great day, and I'll be calling you back.
I hope so. I'll see you soon.
All right,
I'll ask you to drop that, Corey, because I can't make my screen work. 52 after the hour. Have you got something on Facebook for me?
I don't.
No?
No.
You can watch us at O'NeillOutside.com on Facebook.
Everything.
Pardon me?
There was only actually one question other than your favorite recipe on a big green egg, but...
Gosh,
it's kind of hard.
That'd be
tough. It's kind of hard to.
Yeah, because we cook.
Narrow that down.
We cook on the egg so often. I don't know what I'd determine.
Steak.
Yeah, just a great big ribeye.
And the fun thing to do is cook pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, homemade pizzas.
Pizza.
That's a lot
cake,
of fun.
Cake, pies, cobbler.
Mm-hmm.
It put everything on the egg.
Yeah. Somebody at Christmas, someone in the neighborhood cooked us two. Pecan pies.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And you could tell they had been cooked on the egg.
You sure could. It was good.
Yeah, oh, man. Who is that guy? We need to call him. Got to get another one of those.
He just sent them back to someone else. So
yeah, that was, those pecan pies on the big green egg, that was really something. All right, we've got Mike Hayes coming up here. The program is almost over, but Woman Williams has a conversation coming up with Mike Hayes. It's 49:43 after the hour, and I'll drop out of here, and we'll let Corey bring up.
Is it time?
It's 54 after the hour.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back, everyone. We got a couple of calls we'll need to clear before the end of the program. First of all, let's visit with Craig and calling on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, O'Neill. I just got to tell you, your Medal of Honor deal in Afghanistan over there, my brother-in-law, he was a Night Stalker, which is the Black Hawk Down movie. If you ever saw it, that's him.
Oh, really? Wonderful.
He's 25 years and he just retired, but yeah, he said that would never happen again, where a man on a boat was controlling what went on the ground. His colonel said it would never happen again. But anyway, I appreciate you doing that. He's home now, and his farm in Warwick, Georgia. But it's
good. But he's still alive.
I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for the compliment. It's my pleasure to do the Medal of Honor.
Well, it was great, and I enjoyed you and David talking about the real lube. Y'all carried me way back. What about the old Shimano Bantam 100? I still have mine.
No kidding. How about that?
It's silver, not black, but my real lube really tuned it up and made it. I brought it out and fished with it again, so I've been having it just put up for safekeep, but that stuff really is good stuff. But anyway, I know you got another guy trying to get in, O'Neill. We enjoy your show, brother.
All right. Thank you for calling, my good friend.
All right. Bye.
You bet. There you go. We'll see you soon. Let's see if I can know how to drop that. There we go. Then there we go. And so. All right. It's 59 after the hour. Another O'Neill Outside 2-hour program is history. Woman Williams visited with us for a little over an hour. And thank you for getting up so early, making yourself so beautiful, and coming down. You make the show a lot better.
Well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I might come earlier next
yes,
time.
Right. Okay. And Corey for engineering, and Jason for screening, Karen and Brian Green for operating everything for Facebook and the SB Nation. This is O'Neill, and keep this in mind. If you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along this spring, you're too busy. We'll see you guys next week. The whole day through, the whole day, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.